Morning. United States versus Ingram.
May it please the court. My name is Phil Cavanaugh. I'm taking over this case from my colleague Renee Schooley, who retired on Friday and is out enjoying herself, I hope. Mr. Norwood. Your Honor, the issue in the case is the scope of the variance. I'm not suggesting to this court that the district court does not have discretion for a variance in this case, but I am suggesting a 50% variance above the high end of the advisory range is way too high if you look at the reasons articulated by the court. The court talks about the need for deterrence in this case, but I point out the obvious that my client was shot five times. He lost the use of one eye. He lost
got
the use
of piece of his nose knocked off and everything else. All in all, he came out in the short end of the whole thing.
He got deterrence and then some, Your Honor, and I think the court discounts that when it looks at that particular factor. The court overemphasized the defendant's conduct when he answered the door as impeding and resisting the officers. The record is pretty clear that at the time he answered the door, admittedly he had the gun in his hand, he was intoxicated, he was stoned, and he was not able to clearly process the commands of the officers because of his impairment and also because there was very loud music playing at the time the officers approached him at the door. So I do think that the district court overemphasized that factor. When you look at the other factors that are concerned,
I didn't realize there was a musical defense to this program.
I'll take whatever defense I can get, Your Honor.
Yeah, grab what you can.
Apparently, the police officers were pursuing two subjects through this house, and there was loud music going on. They run through there, and they tell Mr. Ingram, "The police are behind me." He goes to the door with the gun in his hand. They say, "Drop the gun." He's so stoned, he's going, "Gun, what gun?" And the next thing he knows, he gets shot five times. Now, that doesn't justify his
that
conduct.
That gun, they said, huh?
Well.
Or this gun. Which
this gun, whatever gun. I mean, it's one of those issues where he definitely came out on the hard end of the bargain. One thing the district court talks about is this took place in a high crime area. Well, most crime takes place in a high crime area. That's why they call it high crime areas.
Well, it is East St. Louis.
And it's pretty bad in most parts of the town. There are some nice neighborhoods, but this particular neighborhood is rife with violence, gun violence, and drug dealing, which
probably close to the federal courthouse too.
When I was work late at night, sometimes I can hear the shots going off. So it's not that far away. But I suggest to the court that the rule in Kirkpatrick should control the remand in this case. And Kirkpatrick is a case where the district court departed way above the high end of the advisory guideline range for reasons that involved the inconvenience and embarrassment to law enforcement. We didn't cite it in our brief, but I did look at the remand because it's unpublished and it was pretty instructive. On remand, the district court found a guideline factor that wasn't considered the first time through, added that to the PSR, and then sentenced Kirkpatrick to, I think, was the low end of the new guideline range. So I would suggest that maybe this court might consider a remand with Kirkpatrick in mind. And that's the only argument. That's all my argument. If you have any other questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Cavanaugh.
And may it please the court again and counsel. I just want to clarify about Mr. Ingram being drunk or stoned. He possibly could have been under the influence of both, but I think the record indicates he knew that it was the police outside the door. And when you read the pre-sentence report, to which there were no objections, the officers ordered him to raise his right hand. Ingram replied, and this is in quotes, "You want to see my hand here," end quote. At that time, Ingram brought his right hand into view, which contained a semi-automatic pistol. agents observed Ingram begin to raise the firearm in their direction, and that's when they fired at him, and obviously they hit him. So drunk,
there was
stunned,
also
whatever.
A quoted statement prior to that, too, wasn't there?
There was, pardon?
Prior, I mean, when he told him that he wasn't.
Yeah, he was. He cursed
right
towards him and everything. So he and I think he even knew that he admitted in his allocution, he knew the fire, the officers were out there. Judge Reagan gave ample reasons for the above guideline sentence, and these reasons were also specific to this case and to this defendant. Judge Reagan indicated that there was more than one officer involved in this incident and that the guidelines only take into account one officer. Judge Reagan indicated that this was not the defendant's only incident involving firearms. The PSR indicated there was another incident where he was in a vehicle, the defendant, and was shoving a firearm up underneath the seat of the vehicle and didn't show his hands on that occasion either.
I know this is sort of a question related to that. If this is a guy, when he's caught in the back seat of the car dealing drugs, he's got a weapon, and he is already a felon, in how is he out of prison several months later? Didn't somebody charge him with that? And
I was not the AUSA below. I'm not sure if he was not charged immediately with that offense or not, Your Honor. It appears not if he's still out on the street.
Yeah, that's what it appears.
And they were both charged initially in the indictment in this case. I can't answer that question.
Okay, well, I was just curious. It just seemed like that would have avoided this one, but it's not.
Are any of those task force arrests charged in state court?
I believe they can charge in state court or federal court. I know our office has made a priority of trying to prosecute as many of those cases as possible. The district judge also noted the defendant's consistent and continuous criminal history. And when Mr. Kavanaugh speaks of deterrence, I know Judge Reagan was skeptical of general deterrence, but with respect to this defendant, specific deterrence is clearly needed. He's been committing crimes since he's 17 years old. He's now 48 years old. The district judge also noted the defendant showed no remorse, basically, during his allocution. All these factors were explained by Judge Reagan, and he explained the reason why he believed a sentence of 180 months was reasonable. That judgment should be affirmed. Does the court have any more questions?
I don't think so.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Kavanaugh, anything further?
The first gun case was never charged. They were both charged at the same time. There was an arrest made, and I don't know if the case was sent to the state's attorney's office or the U.S. attorney's office, but the original gun on the car case was charged at the same time as the case where he was shot by the officers.
They just let him go then, huh?
I can't speak to that. I know he was in charge.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was referred to the state's attorney's office or not. I can't tell. I do quarrel with the fact that about the issue of remorse. On the record, Mr. Ingram does say that he wasn't trying to harm any of the officers, but yet he was pretty much focused on the injury that he received. There's no doubt about that. But he was pretty clear in his allocution. He wasn't out to hurt anybody. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kavanaugh. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.